Are you ready to try your hand at placing your very first stock trade? Then check out our free guide, 10 Steps to Choosing Your First Stock to Trade, the Ultimate Beginner's Guide. In this free download, you'll learn how to choose the right kinds of stocks and how to find them, know when to buy your stocks and when to sell them, and you'll learn how to take your very first steps to becoming a stock trader and much more. Grab your free guide now by going to tradeway.com/guide. That's tradeway.com/guide. Hey guys, I'm David Mitchell, founder and CEO of Tradeway. What if God himself gave you a blueprint for how to handle your money? Well, the Bible is a practical book. Let's dive in and see what it has to say about wealth, about risk, about leverage, and about investing, and uncover how trading in the stock market can be a powerful tool for moving towards your biggest goals. We're so happy you're here. This is The Word on Investing. Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. You know, people who create wealth have two outstanding characteristics. That's what I've found anyway, and I want to talk about those today. The Bible itself says that riches should be considered a blessing from God. I know here in America, we almost are taught by Hollywood and so forth that wealth creation is evil, especially if it's a Christian that seeks wealth. I don't know why the world thinks that, but they do think that, and a lot of pastors seem to think it too, but the Bible doesn't indicate that. It indicates that if you're a Christian, you belong to the Lord, then wealth comes to you. That is a blessing from God. It's all through the Scripture. There are about three components of wealth creation clearly taught, more than that, really, and we've talked about it in recent episodes. I think you'll remember one of those is that people who fear the Lord, that's a condition of wealth creation. All of the promises of God concerning wealth for his people are conditional, which means it's an if-then situation. If you do this, God says, then I will bring wealth to your family. So one of those, obviously, is to fear the Lord. A second one that we've seen many times is that people who delight in his word, that is a condition of wealth creation. And we see these in scriptures such as Psalm 112, verses 1 through 3, Proverbs chapter 10, verses 14 and 16. A third one I know we've talked about before is people who are wise and lay up knowledge, they create wealth with that knowledge. We've talked about that and shown scripture for it as well. So components of wealth creation that deal with character, you could list them as fearing God. This indicates believing in God and believing that he will reward righteousness and obedience and that he punishes evil, those kind of concepts. Secondly, delighting in his word, the Bible. This includes personal Bible study, attending worship services where the Bible is taught, and speaking often with others about things personally learned from Scripture, like at coffee or something like that, is fantastic. And then gaining knowledge and skill sets, the Bible teaches that through and through. That's kind of obvious. I think the Bible words for that would be knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. The modern term would be skill sets in the particular business that you're doing. And so these things are really fantastic. But the main two that I want to talk about today are inward things, things that a person who creates wealth has on the inside, especially if this is a child of God, right? So the first one would be developing an entrepreneurial spirit. If you're not born with one, you got to develop it if you're not born with it. And secondly, patience. And you might not think of patience as an outstanding characteristic of someone that would create wealth, but it's found in every wealthy individual I've ever known. And so those are the two things that I want to talk about today. So let's talk about developing an entrepreneurial spirit. Well, we know from Scripture that God is pleased with appropriate, educated risk, and he's displeased with fear and laziness. And we see that in the parable of the talents in Matthew 25 and other places in the Bible. But at the same time, that the Bible indicates that God is pleased with healthy, educated risk. Our U.S. government school systems and so many other systems in our society seem to teach that risk is bad. And for many years, probably 50 years, this has been the case. One of many things Americans must do to please God again is to develop this spirit of individualism as opposed to collectivism or communism, of zeal, of excellence, and of productivity. All of these have to do with the entrepreneurial spirit. Now, the Bible says this in Proverbs 11:24, "There is that that scattereth and yet increases, and there is that which withholdeth more than is fitting, but it tends to poverty." Now, the scattering spoken of here is really talking about investing, scattering your money, your funds into different investments in different industry groups, maybe in different places in the world. So it speaks of investing wisely, and the Bible says that tends to increase. So when you put the money out there in wise, educated investments, that money tends to come back to you with an increase or a profit or interest or return on investment. And that's what the scripture means in the first part of Proverbs 11:24. But then it talks about another type of person. It says, there is that person that withholds more than is fitting, but that tends to poverty. So people that love money so much that they're afraid to invest it, they may not have skill sets on investing. And by the way, that's what Tradeway is about, is teaching Christian people all about stock trading and investing the right way. So this particular person that withholds more than is fitting, it means he just loves money so much he won't invest it, and he doesn't have the skill set, so he's afraid. So he has fear, and he also loves the money, right? It's really funny how the world thinks that wealthy people love money. The truth is, it's people that aren't wealthy that love money. They love money so much, they're afraid to invest it. They won't scatter it, as the scripture says. They won't put it out into investments. They're afraid they'll lose it. So it's kind of backwards from what people think. So wealthy individuals don't love the money. They just use it as a tool, right? And it's an important tool, but it's just a tool. And with regard to God and his people, God uses money as a tool because basically all it is, it's a family business. Everything is God's business, and he owns it all, and he owns all the money, but he loves to work with his children. He loves to work with us in his business. And so if he lays money on you, as a Christian entrepreneur, it's because he loves you and he wants you to invest it for him and to be the best steward you can be and so forth. So here the scattering of the money is investing wisely. It leads to increase, but withholding more money than is fitting, hoarding it, in other words, putting it in the barn, as the parable in the New Testament talks about, where the rich man put his more and more money in the barn, you know, it was wheat and so forth. He puts it in the barn and then he dies. Well, whose is it then? That was a lesson that we're not supposed to hoard the money. We're supposed to use it. And so that's what this verse in Proverbs 11:24 talks about. There's another passage in the Old Testament that deals with this entrepreneurial spirit that God wants us to have or develop. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 4. It says, "He that observes the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." That's talking about a person who has too much fear in his life and maybe not enough skill sets, and he's so frightened that he won't sow the seeds that could someday come forth and be a great harvest and actually create wealth for the individual. But if he's got so much fear in his life that he looks up and he sees the dark clouds and he thinks, well, it might rain today, there might be a storm, so I'm just not going to go out and work, I'm not going to sow any seeds today. Well, he'll always have an excuse not to sow the seeds. And that right there is talking about we need to develop an entrepreneurial spirit where even though we may have fear, we don't pay attention to it. We go out and we sow the seeds anyway. We take that risk. You could also look at this as a discussion between the Lord and us on negativity. In other words, are we supposed to look at things through the negative side first or the positive side? Because a person could look at the dark clouds and get negative about it and say, well, you know, a storm is definitely going to come, so I'm not going to go sow the seeds. Or a person could look at the dark cloud and say, well, that's going to bring some rain. It's going to help my seeds grow and come up and bring a better harvest. And so it could speak to that issue as well. A person with an entrepreneurial spirit is not afraid to take risk because he has skill sets. And at the same time, he looks at things through a positive lens. Now, with regard to wealth creation in the first place, as we mentioned at the first of the show, so many people look at it as evil, especially for a Christian, but the Bible never does. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 10:21, the lips of the righteous feed many. And, you know, I had a young man that used to teach for us for Tradeway, and he would get a little upset if people seemed to balk at the idea of wealth creation for Christians. And I've seen him walk right up to a student, straight look him in the face in front of the whole crowd and say, "Who says you have to keep it all?" You know, his point was, as long as you're not selfish and hoarding money, it's not evil. It's a tool to be used. And that's what this says. The lips of the righteous feed many. I mean, you only need so much to take care of your family. So if you create wealth, you've got an excess of money to help others with and to use it where the Lord wants you to put it. Now, that same verse in Proverbs goes on and says, "But fools die for lack of wisdom." So that tells us we're supposed to get skill sets and wisdom and understanding and to get instruction from those who know how to do the business that we're doing. So you want to check out tradeway.com on that if you want to learn to have a stock trading business. Teach that to your kids and grandkids and pass it down to give you the potential for generational wealth. That's what Tradeway is all about. Go out and check that out. But it ends this way: the blessing of the Lord, it makes rich. So how can we say it's evil if God says it's a blessing from the Lord? The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You see, a lot of people worry about, you know, certain wealthy individuals that have new money that they watch and how it destroys their children, and they grow up and get on drugs or whatever, and sometimes they perish because of it. Well, if the money comes to you as a blessing from God, then the money's not dangerous. It doesn't add, God doesn't add sorrow with the money because you're using it as a steward of his money and his business and so forth. So those are really great promises. Now, you might be wondering, how come you use Old Testament scriptures so much? You know, does it even apply to us today? Well, obviously it does. There are two different verses in the New Testament, and they say roughly the same thing, that the object lessons of the lives of the people in the Old Testament, they are object lessons where physical stories of actually things that happen, but they teach spiritual truths. And those two verses say that those are there as end samples for those of us who live at the end of the age. That's us. So an end sample is stronger than an example. And it literally means that there are spiritual lessons to learn from looking at the lives of the people in the Old Testament, and we ought to be looking at it all the time. So yes, it applies to us. They might say, well, okay, so is it only a spiritual lesson? Well, I came up with an idea a few years ago. I think the Lord gave it to me. I've taught it all across the country. It's called the Echo Principle. I think you can get access to that over at tradeway.com. But it goes like this. God would not use a lie in the physical world to teach a truth in the spiritual realm. Or let's put it the other way around. If God's teaching us a spiritual truth, then the physical truth he uses to picture it has to be true as well. It can't be a lie. So a lot of times I'll use that principle to find business principles in the Bible by looking at things that we commonly thought were teaching a spiritual truth, like the parable of the talents is a great example, where we think it's talking about, well, we need to develop gifts. God gives us gifts. We need to develop those. That's the spiritual lesson. But if you go back and look at the physical story that teaches it, it's true too, because it talks about the principle of leverage, financial leverage, that we earn off the efforts of many other people. That's how wealth is created. So you've got a lot of episodes. You can go back in the archives and listen where we've taught on that. So yes, all of this applies. Now, the entrepreneurial spirit is very important that be developed in the life. It pleases God. Remember, in the parable of the talents, the first two people in that story doubled the money. Now, they were different amounts because they had different skill sets, but God was pleased with both of them and said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. I will put you over higher things, bigger things in the future because of it." But what about that third person that buried the talents because of fear and he had no entrepreneurial spirit, no skill sets? He buried it. What happened? He was rebuked. He was punished. And that little bit that he had was taken away from him and given to the most productive of the three people. So that shows us that God is pleased with people who develop entrepreneurial spirits where they're not afraid of risk because they know that God put the risk return principle out there in the universe. And we've talked about that many times with you guys. And so God has linked them together that if you want to have the potential for your family to have return, to create wealth, then you have to be willing to take educated risk. It's a risk-return principle that God flung out there into the universe, I think, after the fall from the Garden of Eden. So that's the first thing that I see. The first great characteristic that I see in people who have created wealth is that they are not afraid of risk. They are educated in the thing they're doing. They have skill sets in the area of business they're doing, but they're not afraid to take risk because they know that's where the return comes from. So let's think about this a minute. Why do you think, as we go around the country doing Tradeway meetings, that I have so many clients that are doctors, so many clients that are attorneys, that are engineers, that are airline pilots? These people really make on the higher end of salaries. In fact, a lot of people in America have been trained to believe that, well, if I could make a couple hundred thousand a year, then that I'm good with that, and I'll just have job security. But why do you think so many of those very people come to our classes? Well, it's because they have realized they cannot create wealth by trading their infinitely valuable time for a little bit of someone else's money. Now, what you think is a little bit is relative, right? But still, they don't feel like they're ever going to create wealth because that doctor has got to be in that office, you know, 8-10 hours a day to create the money that he makes. And if he's not there, he doesn't make the money. Same way with the engineer, same way with the attorney. So you see my point. So why do they want to come to Tradeway meetings? Well, because they want to learn how to get their money making money. Because when you get to that quadrant of the cash flow quadrant, the investment quadrant, number one, it doesn't control your life. In other words, with the other concept, if you don't show up, you make no money. But when you have your money making money, you know, you can be asleep, you can be on vacation. It has the potential to keep making money while you're doing all those things. And that's why folks want to learn how to become entrepreneurial and how to take risk, say, in the stock market, for example. So it's one thing to have the security, or what you think is security. I mean, COVID showed that's not always true, didn't it? But it's one thing to have security of what we think is a pretty good salary, even a large salary. But it's a whole other thing when you look at what the Bible teaches about we're supposed to lay aside for our children and our grandchildren, generational wealth creation. That's not going to happen by trading time for money. So we have to learn to do something entrepreneurial. So even a high-paying job does not create wealth. So what I see in people that are wealthy, that have created wealth, is they have this entrepreneurial spirit. And what they're doing is they're just simply not afraid to be constantly thinking and asking themselves the question, what could I do to serve others? What could I do to be useful in this world? What ideas do I have that would help other people where I could meet their needs or their wants and make people happier, make them healthier, and so forth? And they're always thinking about these very ideas of ways to serve others, and they're not thinking about making money. They're thinking about serving others, and the serving of others, God uses that to bring wealth into their family. And so think about this. How would you approach this? I mean, here's what I think the germ of this idea is this, that anything that you can picture in your mind, God has created us in his image. And the very first thing God says he is in Genesis 1:1 is he is a creator. He is creative and he's a creator. So he's put that in us. So if we can picture something that we could do that would help others and so forth. And by that, I mean, make plans, you know, write it down, draw it, make a prototype of it. If you can picture it and make a prototype of something, then if you just take steps, you can step into God's will on whether or not that is a thing he wants you to bring into this world. So I want you to think about this, because the next episode, we're going to talk about patience. That is the second great quality that I see in wealth creators. Why do you think they might need patience? Well, because sometimes when you make those plans and you take those steps, God says, that's not the direction I want you to go. And he closes a door and opens another one, and you got to start over and go that direction. That requires a good amount of patience. And if you don't have that, you just quit. And that's another, you know, we really could add a third component, is that entrepreneurs are not quitters. You could say, like, they've got this spirit. I should say wealth creators are not quitters. They've got this great spirit of desiring to take risk appropriately, but they also have this great patience, but they don't quit, which I think that's a sub point of patience. We'll talk about that next time. But let me leave you with this. You know, you guys probably do know that I had 2 degrees in business, running the family businesses before I became a Christian. And after I became a Christian, God called me to preach. And it's been pretty wonderful because since I already had businesses going and smart people, you know, managing businesses for me, I was able to study theology. And I've been in the ministry now 40 years, senior pastor at Park Meadows for, I don't know, 30 something, probably 35 years. And I'm able to do that. And it's wonderful. And my great love is, you know, studying the word and teaching and preaching the word of God to people. But as I've studied theology through the years, I learned this, that a lot of the things that are taught in seminary are not necessarily true. I've learned that a lot of things that you hear pastors say from the pulpit are not true. They're things that may sound really cool. They may have even heard another pastor say it. It impressed them, so they repeat it. And then when you go look through scriptures, you don't find that the scripture bears that out. And one of those sayings that kind of irks me now, I mean, I'm almost 70 years old, and I hear people saying it. And I know when I was a younger Christian, I said it too, so I'm not being critical about it. But it bothers me now because of what I've learned from scripture about God. And that is when they say, oh, you got to be careful not to get out of God's will. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. God is sovereign. He's the sovereign of the universe. He's in control of all things. It says all things are made by him, and of him all things consist, which means he holds them together. He is not a God who created everything and then folds his arm and watches to see what will happen. He's a God who is intimately involved in everything that happens every minute of every day, all the time, across the entire universe. That's the God we serve, right? So, like, if we think about God by definition of who he is, do you really think that you're powerful enough to start something or begin something, that you bring it into the universe and it's something he didn't desire to be there? So, like, you got out of God's will, right? So that's not going to happen. You're in God's will all the time. Now, people say, well, that can't be true because I sin. Well, I didn't say you obey him all the time. I said you're in his will. It's part of his will that we have sin. I mean, the Bible says that it's on purpose that he put this treasure in earthen vessels. The new man, the born again you, is in a body that's an old man on purpose. And it was no accident that Adam and Eve sinned, because the Bible says Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. It was going to happen because it was going to be God's way of showing his love and grace to the universe, was his son's death on the cross. It was flat going to happen. So, I mean, why do I bring this up? Well, if you really believe you can get out of God's will, it brings fear. I mean, you're certainly not going to take steps towards something if you're afraid, oh, you know, I'm going to get out of God's will. So as long as you're in the Word and you're walking with the Lord, holding his hand throughout the day and a prayerful person, then the truth is when you take a step, you're going to step into his will, not out of his will. So one of the greatest things you can do as an entrepreneur is do what I said, picture something that will help others, bring joy to the lives of other people, serve others, plan it, you know, put it down in a plan. And then once you've got that done, don't be afraid to take the first step towards doing that thing, because as you take that step, you're stepping into God's will. Now, as you go out there, what you're going to find, and I've found this universally true, is that my plans were never God's perfect plan. So yes, he will close a door and open another door that I have to walk through. And that's what keeps me on his plan. So there's another point. Don't ever look at a closed door as a bad thing. It's God showing you his perfect will. It's a good thing. Walk through the open door that he shows you on the right or the left, right? That's how you find out that his plan is actually better than your plan was, and he leads you all along the way. So my closing thought is, don't be afraid to take steps. You've got to do that. Nothing ever happens if you don't. All right, so I hope you enjoyed this show today. Next time, we're going to talk about that second great trait, which is patience. And I hope you'll be with us then. I hope if you love this show, you'll rate and review it so other people with similar interests can find us. Maybe we can be a help to them too. And we will see you next time.